I am going to take us through the story of Esther, which some of us will know well and some of us will know less well. So just if you are a child, sort of primary schoolish age, maybe you want to come to the front, or younger, come to the front so that you can see a bit better and sit in this area here, because I'm going to need lots and lots of help and volunteers. If you're slightly older than primary school age, I might pick on you anyway to do some of the jobs. So if you are a child of sort of primary school age-ish, maybe a bit younger, maybe a bit older, can you come now and sit at the front? Okay. And I'm going to need some volunteers who are a bit older than the ones I've got here, so I'm going to just pick on people and point to them. So this is a story about a girl called Esther. I need a girl to be Esther. Would one of you like to be Esther? Dan, come on then. Right, so Dan's Esther, and Esther's a queen, and as a queen, she needs a crown. So, here's your crown, you go and stand over there. Esther was also, this is like my Mary Poppins bag, Esther was also a Jew. So I'm going to give you this to wear around your neck, okay? But she didn't tell anyone she was a Jew, so she's going to tuck it in her top so that no one can see. Okay, so that's the first character. Okay, and Esther was the queen of Persia. She hadn't always been the queen. She used to be an ordinary girl. And then the king was looking for a queen, and he sent his people around to look and find all the pretty girls, and he just picked the best one, and that was Dan. Okay, so that is Esther. The next person we need is King Xerxes, who is married to Esther. And I can see three Elgar boys, and they're all the same size, and one of them's called Luke. It's the middle one. Oh, you come. Oh, he's really excited. He's really excited. Give him a clap. And Xerxes was a king. You don't have to stand too close to it. It's all right. You just stand here. There we go. Actually, let's have you here. He was a king, so he gets a crown. But Xerxes wasn't always a very sensible king, okay? He sometimes listened to the wrong people. So I want you to take off your crown and put on the silly dim hat. If it's too big, sorry. And then we put the crown over the top, and that is the look. Okay, so that's King Xerxes. Okay, now there are two more characters in the story. One of them is Mordecai, who is also male. And I'm looking for... I should remember your name, because you were just baptised. So, person who was just baptised. Ben, sorry, Ben. Right, you're Mordecai. And Mordecai, you can stand over here. Okay, and we'll have Esther here. And Mordecai over there. So, Mordecai is the cousin of Esther, but he's much older than Esther, and because Esther's parents died when they were young, he's been looking after her like a dad. So he is also a Jew. And somewhere in my Mary Poppins bag, there we go. So you get a Star of David, but you're going to wear yours and people are going to know that you're a Jew. Okay, so he's the cousin of Esther. And when Esther becomes queen, Mordecai carries on looking after her, and he gets a job at the palace so that he can keep on looking after her. So you get a job at the palace. There you go. Now, one day when Mordecai was working at the palace, and he heard some people talking. Okay, let's have Jesse and Toby. You can be the people. Can you stand up there? You don't want to. Sam and Thomas, stand here. And they're whispering, and they're whispering, and they're whispering. Can you stand there and whisper? Can you stand there and whisper? Whisper, whisper, whisper. Okay? And then really loudly, Mordecai hears them say,
"We're going to kill the king."
A bit louder.
"We're going to kill the king."
He hears them say, "We're going to kill the king." So Mordecai is quite sensible, so he runs and tells Esther. Tell Esther. Okay, and Esther runs and tells Xerxes. Okay, so Xerxes doesn't want to be killed. So here's what he does. He decides to kill the two people. I don't want you to actually kill them, because one of them belongs to me. Okay, but go up to them and give them a slap on the wrist, a really gentle one, and they can sit down. two sit down. So that's Mordecai, and that's Esther, and that's Xerxes. But there's one more person in the character, and he is a baddie, and he's called Haman. And I'm looking at Cameron Hills. Up you come, Cameron. Okay, you can stand here without treading on all the money things. Haman is the king's advisor, okay? But he's not a very good man, okay? No one knows this yet. He's not a very good man. Can you do an evil laugh? That's, yeah, okay. So he's an evil man. And Xerxes, not long after the Mordecai event, Xerxes decides that Haman, who's not king, is going to be the most important person in the land. And Haman's very pleased. And he makes a rule that everybody has to bow to him. So I want you to walk up the front. And as you walk up the front, as he walks past you, you've got to bow to him. So walk up the front and all the children are going to bow to you. So all the people in the palace had to bow to Haman. Stop. And everybody bowed to Haman until he got to Mordecai. Do you think Mordecai bowed to Haman? No. Mordecai did not bow down to Haman because Mordecai was a Jew. And Jews don't bow down to people and worship other gods. So Haman walks back in a big huff. I want you to stomp back. Stomps back. That's right. And Haman decides that he's so angry with Mordecai, he wants to kill him. So he makes a noose and a gallows to kill him, and he thinks, I'm going to wait for the best time. But Haman is such a baddie that he decides he doesn't just want to kill Mordecai, he wants to kill all of the Jewish people. Okay, so he plots, and then he goes to Xerxes. Go to Xerxes. And he says, Xerxes, you don't have to say the words. He says, Xerxes, the Jews are a terrible group of people, and they don't follow any of your rules. Okay, and Xerxes says, this is terrible. This is terrible. And Haman, that's Cameron, tricks Xerxes into signing a death warrant for all the Jews. Okay, here's a death warrant. Sign it. Okay, and then he gives the death warrant to all the different people in all the different parts of the empire, which is these lots. So they've all got a death warrant, okay? So they all get a little envelope to hold, or just two or three of them, doesn't really matter. Okay, so that you've got two. Okay, so they've all got a death warrant. And what that says in there, and it went to all over the land of Persia, and it said, on a certain day, in a few months' time, we're going to kill all the Jews. Okay, so that's what Haman did, because he's so bad. Stand there, you're bad. Okay. Now, eventually, Mordecai heard of this. How do you think Mordecai felt? Not very happy. And so Mordecai did what people did in the ancient world, which is he dressed in sackcloth. Okay? That's what you do when you're unhappy. You dress in sackcloth. It's itchy and it's sort of a cheap, rough material. Now, I genuinely looked everywhere for sackcloth and I couldn't find any, but I did find a different kind of sack. So, here's what you're going to do. Somewhere. There we go. This is the end. Okay, so Mordecai is dressed in sackcloth because he is in mourning. Okay. I made armholes. You could make the effort. Oh, okay. That's how he's wearing his sackcloth. Okay. So, Mordecai is where Mordecai is, round the palace, round his home, dressed in sackcloth. Esther and Xerxes are in the palace, probably different parts of the palace because that's how it worked. And Haman is in Haman's house. And Esther hears that Mordecai is dressed in sackcloth. Okay, yeah, maybe just tie it round. I made it based on my own head, which is smaller than yours, obviously. So anyway, Mordecai is dressed in sackcloth, and Esther hears that Mordecai is dressed in sackcloth. And remember that... I didn't tell you that, so you can't remember it. When Esther became queen, she didn't tell anyone that she was a Jew. She didn't tell anyone that she was a Jew, and she didn't tell anyone that she was related to Mordecai. So she can't just walk up to Mordecai and say, Mordecai, what's wrong with you? So she sends him a message, and that message is going to come up on the screen. She sends him a message, okay? She probably didn't send him a message that looked like this, but the words would have been virtually the same. What's wrong, Mordy, is the message she sends. And Mordecai messages her back. And he explains that Haman has made a new law and he's going to kill all of the Jews. And he says to Esther, go to the king and tell him to change the law because we don't all want to die. Okay, Esther is very worried. She's worried for Mordecai, but she's also scared for herself because there is a law in Persia that if anyone goes to the king without being invited, they can get killed. Okay, so she doesn't want to go to the king because she might get killed. So she messages him back and explains that she can't go, but she hopes it all works out okay without her. Okay, at this point, Mordecai sends a slightly tougher message back. Okay, and these words actually come straight from the Bible. He says, don't imagine that you are safer than the other Jews just because you're in the royal palace. If you keep quiet at a time like this, help will come from heaven to the Jews, and they will be saved, but you will die, and your father's family will come to an end. Next one, sorry. There should be one more. Yet who knows? Maybe it was for a time like this that you were made queen. So Mordecai sends that message to Esther. When Esther gets that message, she thinks, and she decides to be a bit braver, and she replies to Mordecai, go and get all the Jews in the capital together, hold a fast, and pray for me. Ah, that hasn't come up. Don't eat anything for 2 to 3 days, I think is the gist of this. Excuse me, that was supposed to look a bit better. Don't eat or drink anything for 3 days and nights. My servant women and I will be doing the same. After that, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I must die for doing it, I will die. Mordecai then left and did everything that Esther asked him to. So, at this point in the story, Mordecai's in sackcloth because he's worried because all the Jews are going to die. Esther is also worried. She's scared because she's a Jew. She doesn't want all of her people to die, and she's worried about going to Xerxes. Xerxes doesn't care. He's king. He doesn't know what's going on. Haman's really, really pleased because he hates the Jews and he hates Mordecai, and soon they're going to die. Okay. I'll just wait for this. So, if you remember, there's 3 days. Esther has said to Mordecai, we're going to wait 3 days. We're going to spend 3 days fasting and praying. So, we're going to have 3 days of fasting and praying. We won't spend actual 3 days, but that's what's happening now. And there are then 3 further days in which everything is going to change. It's going to be really, really exciting. We want to be about... They'll find it. So, okay, so we've had days 1 to 3. Day 4, and it's mid-morning, okay? So, Esther is going to see King Xerxes. Now, remember, the punishment for seeing King Xerxes is death. Unless he raises his scepter. We don't have a scepter, but you could raise your hand, maybe. So, Esther is going to very bravely walk over to see King Xerxes. She knocks on the door. She goes in, and he raises his scepter. She's not going to be killed. Now, what do you think is the first thing that Esther says? What's Esther going to say? What do you think Esther's going to say? Well, the first thing she's going to say is, thank you for not killing me. Okay? And after she says, thank you for not having me killed, what do you think she's going to say? What do you think she's going to say? Is she going to say, don't kill the Jews? She's not, because she's not quite brave enough for that yet. She says, come to a dinner party at my house and bring Haman. Okay, so they go to a dinner party at Esther's house. Okay, this is your dinner party. There it is. There's your party. So at this point, Esther, Haman and Xerxes reveal, you can lift them off and just be eating while I'm talking. There we go. Okay. So Mordecai's in sackcloth and ashes. The other three are having a dinner party, okay? And at the dinner party, how's Esther feeling? How's Esther feeling, Jessica? How do you think Esther's feeling? A bit worried, yeah. She's feeling a bit worried. Xerxes, he's just enjoying the lunch, and Haman is thinking, this is brilliant. I get to have lunch with the king and queen. I'm so important. And eventually, Xerxes says to Esther... Eventually, Xerxes says to Esther, why did you risk your life to invite me over for dinner? And Esther says, would you like to come to dinner tomorrow as well? Okay, because she's still not quite brave enough. So she says, would you like to come to dinner tomorrow? So they all say yes, please, and they all go back to the places that they were. So Esther, that's your house or your room. Haman, you're here. And Xerxes, you're here. So later, so we're even later that day. Mordecai, he's at home wearing sackcloth and ashes, really worried. Esther is feeling a little bit braver, but she's still quite scared. Haman should be really happy because he's invited to the party and the banquet with the king and queen. But Esther is, but Haman is too much of a baddie, okay? And he's still angry with Mordecai, because that's how it is. Sometimes you get so angry about something that you can't enjoy the good things. And he thinks, even though I'm invited to the king's banquet with Queen Esther and King Xerxes, I'm still really angry about Mordecai. So he decides, right, tomorrow morning, I'm going to go to Xerxes and tell him to kill Mordecai with a noose. Yeah, so you've got that, Zeus, and you're going to make it and get it all ready, and he's there waiting. Xerxes, in the meantime, can't sleep. It's sort of nighttime, and he can't sleep, so he decides to read his diary. Okay, just reading through all the old entries that he made in his diary. And he finds the page where it says, Mordecai saves king from the evil plot, remember, with Sam and Thomas. He finds that day, and he says, I remember that when Mordecai saved my life from a plot. What did I do to thank Mordecai? Oh, yeah, nothing. So he decides, right, first thing tomorrow morning, I'm going to do something to thank Mordecai. So it's the next morning, day five morning. Haman, first thing in the morning, what are you going to do? What are you doing? Can you remember? What's Haman doing first thing in the morning? Sam? Killing Mordecai. Yes, he's going to go to Xerxes, ready to kill Mordecai. Xerxes wakes up in the morning and he says, right, who's in my palace? Haman, I've got an important job for you. And he says to Haman, what should I do for a man that I want to really honour? What should I do for a man that I want to really honour? What do you think, Haman, when he says, what should I do for a man who I really honour? What does Haman think? Who does Haman think he's talking about? Come. He doesn't think he's talking about Mordecai. He thinks he's talking about him. So Haman says, oh, if you really want to honour somebody, you should give them a big parade and dress them up in really smart clothes and put them on a horse and get everyone to clap them. And Xerxes says, brilliant, Haman, go and do that for Mordecai. Haman, really? Why did you come to the palace?
I don't know.
Why did you come, really? Oh. With your noose?
To kill Mordecai.
And what have you got to do now?
Throw him a party.
Yeah. So Haman is not very happy, but he has to follow the king's rules. So he goes over to Mordecai. Mordecai takes off his sackcloth and he gives him a parade. So Mordecai, you put on your little hat and he's going to be paraded up and down. And you children, when he's walking up and down, I want you to give him a clap. Okay? So everyone's going to give him a big clap. Okay? Walk up and down, everyone give him a big clap. There we go. Okay, so that happens. And at this point, Mordecai, you go back. You're even worse now. You're really angry. Mordecai is feeling a bit better after his parade, but still quite worried. Esther is still a little bit nervous about the dinner party. Xerxes doesn't care because he's king and he gets to have a nice party. And Haman is feeling a little bit less happy than he was. Okay, later that day, it's the evening. You're having your second dinner party. You're over there. Okay, and what happens at the dinner party is after a while, Esther plucks up the Xerxes once again. Haman, you've got to stop eating for a minute. Okay. Xerxes says, Esther, why did you risk your life to invite me to two dinner parties? And Esther explains the whole situation. She says, I and my people are going to be killed. And Xerxes says, who would do such a terrible thing? And Esther says,
Haman.
Okay. So Esther explains that she really is a Jew. She reveals her Star of David. She really is a Jew. Xerxes now is very, very angry. And Haman is very scared. And Xerxes decides that he is going to punish Haman. So at the end of the story, Haman stand up. Haman gets killed with the noose that he made to kill Mordecai. He gets killed on his own noose. So you are out. Sit down. Okay? Mordecai gets given all of Haman's things. So he gets Haman's job, he gets Haman's house, he gets Haman's everything. Well done. Thank you very much. You can sit down. Xerxes is still king. He's been largely unaffected by any of the fear and scare, but he finally starts listening to the right people, so you can take off your silly hat. Okay, and he finally starts listening to the right people rather than Haman. So thank you very much, Luke. You can sit down. And Esther is still queen. But this time she's been brave enough to speak out, to say that she's a Jew, and to help her people. And because of that, she saved her people and has been remembered throughout history and in the Bible. So well done, Esther. And small children, you can come and sit down, and you've done really, really well. So thank you very much.
Okay, brilliant. I have to say that's probably the most interesting interpretation of the story of Esther I've seen for a long time, and I shall find it very difficult for the rest of the day to see my son in anything other than evil light. But Esther is a particular favourite story of mine. Ever since I was little, I've really liked the story of Esther. It's a story that's got power and drama, it's got romance and intrigue, and also perhaps the main reason that I liked it when I was little, the main character is female. A really good role model for those of us who have to sit through many, many, many stories about courageous men in the Bible. Esther may have been quite a young girl when the story first starts, and it's quite likely that she was a teenager. But she became a woman of importance. Someone whose name is still known and the Jews still celebrate when she saved the people in the annual festival of Purim. But apart from being an exciting story and one which has a brave and powerful heroine, what should we learn from this book of the Bible? What lessons can we take for our lives today? Well, it won't surprise you to know that I've thought of three things. I am a minister's wife after all, I have to do things the proper way. And the first is about plans. Now, many of you know that for my day job, I'm a teacher, and I know quite a lot about plans because I write quite a lot of plans. I write yearly plans, termly plans, half-termly plans, weekly plans, daily plans, sometimes even lesson plans. Because you have to plan what's going to happen in the classroom and what you want everybody to do. I suspect you've got some plans. You've probably not written them down, but I expect some of you have got plans for tomorrow. Whether you'll get to carry out your plans, or whether they may have to change, perhaps because of the weather, I don't know. But I'm sure that Esther, as a young girl, would have had lots of plans for her life, hopes and dreams for the future, things she wanted to happen, things that she thought may happen, but in her plans, she would certainly not have included becoming the queen. In what must have seemed a really strange set of events for Esther, she moved from being an ordinary girl into the palace and then became queen. And she must have felt like her life was turned totally upside down. I wonder if she ever pinched herself just to make sure she wasn't dreaming. And I wonder if you've heard anybody say, "Oh, I was just the right person in the right place at the right time." Well, Esther certainly was the right person in the right place at the right time. As Mordecai said in chapter 4, verse 14, "Who knows? Maybe it was for a time like this that you were made queen." Okay, it was for this moment that all those strange events had happened and that Esther had been made queen. So the first thing we can learn from the story is to trust God. To trust his timing and to trust his plans. God planned for Esther to be queen. It certainly wasn't Esther's idea. But God needed her in that place at that time so that she could save the Jewish people. It may be that you have been put in a certain place for the right time. That right time may have come already, it may not be here yet. But God is with us, just as he was with Esther. And God has plans for us, just as he had plans for Esther. He has put us where we are for a reason. The second thing we're going to think about is the fact that Esther did what she knew was the right thing to do, even though it meant risking her life. Okay, time for a quick survey. Hands up from anybody who thinks that they have always done the right thing throughout the whole of their life. They have never done anything wrong. Not many. Okay, let's make it a bit easier. What about this year then, 2013? Who thinks that they have always done the right thing in 2013 and never done anything wrong? And even, I guess, if I was to ask about this week, we still would struggle. And yet, if I change the question, who thinks that they have tried hard to always do the right thing? Who tries to do the right thing? Hands up. Who tries to do the right thing? Oh, dear, there are some people I'm worried about. We try, don't we? We really try to do the right thing, but it's difficult. Sometimes it's really hard for us. We find it very difficult, even though we're not in the same position as Esther was. And we don't usually put our lives at risk, even when we know we're trying to do the right thing. Esther knew that to help save her people, she would have to put her life in danger. And all through August, we've been hearing about people in the Bible who did extraordinary things because they knew that it was the right thing to do. It was what God asked them to do. The next time that you're finding it difficult to do what you know is right, think about Esther. How she risked her life. And think about the words of Mordecai. Maybe it was for this time that you were put in this place. The last thing I wanted to think about is something that I read on the Urban Saints website when I was looking at the story of Esther and some of the background. Urban Saints is a website that we use for Light Factory material, particularly in the evening. It's what used to be called Crusaders, yes, now called Urban Saints. But it talks about the fact that the book of Esther is the odd one out in the Bible. Now, I did know this. Does anybody else know why the book of Esther is the odd one out in the Bible? Go on, somebody shout it out. Right, it doesn't mention God. There is no direct reference to God in the book by name. It does not mention God's name in the book of Esther. Last week, we heard about Gideon, if we were here. How did Gideon find out what it was that God wanted him to do? Does anybody remember? Sophie. An angel told him, thank you. An angel told Gideon what he had to do. The week before, okay, I'm testing your memory, you learned about Joshua. How did Joshua know what God wanted him to do? Oh, Hannah, I'm going to pick on you because I know you were there. Do you remember? You didn't look at that part of the story. Okay. God spoke to Joshua. He heard God's voice directly speak to him. Okay, so Gideon saw an angel. God spoke to Joshua in his voice. Right, so right, okay, right back at the beginning of August, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace. How did God help them out? Grace, go on. I know you were there. He sent an angel. Okay, so in many of these stories that we read in the Bible, God sends angels, God speaks in big, powerful, booming voices. Remember that God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. There are dramatic and exciting things, but Esther doesn't have that. We are not told that God speaks directly to Esther. She doesn't see angels or any miracles, and yet throughout the book of Esther, we can see that God is at work. God uses Esther to save his people. Now, when I was young, I was in Sunday school and listening week after week to stories about people in the Bible. And they were always used by God in marvellous ways, but often there were these big, marvellous events. There were angels, there were burning bushes, there were miracles. And sometimes I felt a bit left out. I quite like God to speak to me through a burning bush. It would make it obvious, wouldn't it, what he wanted us to do? I like an angel to appear and tell me what to do. I think it would give me confidence to go ahead and know that I was doing the right thing. But I have to say, I've not seen angels or performed miracles. I haven't had any of those big flashy experiences. And yet here is Esther, a person used by God to do his work in a dramatic and important way without any of that. So for those of us that do not see angels and experience God in quieter ways, this book is a great reassurance and a great encouragement. God can and will use us. He will put us in his place, the right place, at his time, the right time, and will give us the courage to do what is right if we trust in him. Let's pray. Father God, help us to always trust you, to know that you are with us. Help us to do the right thing, even if we find it difficult. Make us brave and strong and bold for you. Amen.